to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I really desire your prayers this morning. That the Lord would help us to bring about this thought, and about this the other day. I'll be preaching in this chapter this morning, but for sake of time, I want to just begin reading in verse number 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute Prisca and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus abode at Corinth, but Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens and Linus and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with thy spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. I want to look in this chapter and I was thinking the other day, and I guess the burden from the Holy Spirit that brought to my attention something that I already knew, but a lot of times you don't think about this. But these are the last known words of the Apostle Paul that he wrote to Timothy. This was the last book, as far as I know, that the Apostle Paul penned down before that he would go and have his life taken from him on Nero's chop block.
Right.
Paul knew for some time that his life would be taken from him. The Spirit of the Lord had revealed it to him. That he would. He knew in different places that he went that he would be bound. The Spirit of God revealed it to him.
Right.
And the Apostle Paul, I believe, if you read more in this chapter, we will, you'll see that he knew that his time was at hand.
Right.
As a matter of fact, when you read in this chapter, you read that Paul lived in the light of the coming of the Lord. The very first verse, he said to Timothy, he said, I charge thee, I want you to remember this. This is his last words to this young convert.
Right.
His son in the faith, if you want to say that. I don't know exactly how old that Timothy was, but he was quite younger than the Apostle Paul. But Timothy was a young pastor. He'd gotten saved underneath the Apostle Paul. And one of the very few that did not forsake him in his latter day.
Right.
Those that were close to him. Paul said, I believe in the earlier parts of Timothy, that all that it were in Asia had forsaken him, except it was for the house of Onesiphorus, whom he mentions here in chapter number 4. He felt like all of those that they had one time had fellowship with, and he had reached, and he had preached to. If there's one thing that's disheartening for a man of God, is to know that he is put time into the spiritual life
of people trying to first see them saved and then to see them grow, to only have them turn against it. And that happens many times in the ministry. I've known many of the pastors that people have stood with them at the first, but as time went on, they began to forsake the man of God and turn from the preaching that he tried to give unto them. Right. And here Paul was no different. He is our great example. But he lived in light of the Lord's coming. He told Timothy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this charge that he gave to Timothy, he wanted him to know that God is listening and the Lord Jesus is listening. And they're both watching. And he said, who shall judge the quick and the dead? That's the saved and the lost. At his appearing and his kingdom. The quick at his appearing, the saved at his appearing, at the rapture, and the dead in his kingdom. After the millennial kingdom at the great white throne judgment, the Lord God will judge. He'll judge us for the works we did while we were here on earth. He'll judge them because their names are not written in the book of life. But he told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That is the way that a man of God must continue in the ministry. He must preach the word. That's his goal. That's his life. That's his ministry. That's what he's called to do. Amen. Is to preach the word. And that he said, they shall turn away their ears from the truth. Shall be turned unto fables. He told them, the time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, Paul lived in light of that time. It was happening in his time. Look at verse number 6. Paul said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Yeah. You see, Paul lived in light of the appearing of our Lord. What we're going to do, how we're going to live our Christian life, had to be ready for his coming. Paul said, I'm now ready. The time of my departure is at hand. Listen, whether it was the rapture or whether he was going out by way of death, he knew that his time was at hand. And notice the life that he lived. He said, I have fought a good fight. These are the last words of the Apostle Paul. I mean, has he got anything more to say than he just say about his life? That I have fought a good fight. Think about the life that you and I have lived for the Lord. And we're going to come down to the place one day we'll have said our last goodbyes. Amen. Till we look back and say, I have fought a good fight. I have fought a good fight. I want to fight that good fight, don't you? I want to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I finished my course. Paul knew that his race was run. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. All the way through, Paul lived for the Lord. And he knew that he was going to be standing before the Lord and the righteous judge. Now look at the world that Paul lived in. I'll get back to some of what Paul said about Lord's coming in just a moment. But the world that Paul lived in. Because there are those that say, well, now, you know, they use the world as an excuse. Well, my life, you know, if it wasn't for my husband, I could live for God. Or if it wasn't for my wife, I could live for God. Or if I'd had a better start, or if things were going better for me, you know, if I had a little more money and my life was a little easier, I could have maybe lived for God a little more. Well, I mean, we use these excuses. No, you can live for God regardless of the world around you. Paul said that he lived, at the time of the Lord's appearing and his kingdom in light of that. And he said in verse number 6, I'm now ready. But the world he lived in, he said, the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine.
Right.
People not enduring sound doctrine. After their own lust, heaping to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And we're living in that day.
Right.
We're living in that day more than even what the Apostle Paul was living in that day. Now they had false Christ.
Right.
False teaching, false doctrine. But he said the time will come. In other words, he knew there was an even greater time. The time like the days of Noah. The time like the days of Lot. They will not endure sound doctrine. You know what we need in this generation more than we need anything else? Sound doctrine.
Right.
Sound doctrine. You know, when Paul the Apostle told Timothy in verse 5, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. You know what he meant to tell him? When he was saying this, and he was saying this, out in the community, cry aloud, that form of sound doctrine. Amen. Now I want to tell you something. We have gotten used to doing it within the walls of the sanctuary.
Right.
But I think if Paul was here, or if John the Baptist was here, or even our Lord was here, they'd probably be down in the middle of town lifting up their voice and letting all the hereby hear them say what is sound concerning the faith.
Amen.
What is sound doctrine? And that's what he told him. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do what you can to lift up sound doctrine. Amen. The time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to come here to hear it.
Right.
Maybe we should take it there.
Amen.
The time will come. They will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You see, the world wants to be religious. But there's only so many things they want to hear.
Right.
And there's a certain way they want to hear
it. Right.
Amen?
Amen.
I said, you know, there are people that will say, preach the truth. I want the truth. I want to hear it until they get the truth.
Right.
And then when they get the truth, they don't like it so much.
Right.
They don't like it so good. Amen? But sound doctrine.
Right.
That is not worldly. It's not lustful. It's not fleshly. Amen? It doesn't have holes in it. I'm talking about sound Bible doctrine. Amen? Amen. I'm talking about not just going from one verse on what I believe, but many verses.
Right.
Amen. Many things in the Bible that let us know what God expects out of our life as a child of God and what God means when he says you must be born again.
Amen.
It's more than just 1, 2, 3, repeat after me.
Right.
I know the Spirit of God must deal with a man's heart or a woman's heart. Well, without the drawing of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draws him.
Amen.
You can't do away with that. Amen.
Amen.
When a person gets to the place where they're a broken and a contrite heart, where they're sorry for their sin and sorry for being a sinner, then maybe they can get saved. Amen. Amen. They get tired of being lost.
Amen.
Get tired of the fact that they're dying in their sin and going to hell.
Amen.
Get fearful of God and the fact like that. Hey, then somebody can get born again. Amen. Listen, God will still deal with a sinner and give praise to the sinner. God loves the sinner. He'll draw them and convict them and make them know the need that they have in their soul. God deals with people that way. The Bible lets us know that. Listen, but the time will come they'll not endure sound doctrine. Paul said this is the world he lived in. But he told Timothy. He told Timothy, preach the word. Timothy, don't change. The time's gonna come. They'll not endure sound doctrine. I'll tell you what, even in the days of Paul's ministry, I'd say he saw things change quite a bit inside the church house.
Right.
He had to go back to the Corinthians and say, I told you this wasn't right.
Right.
And I told you this is how things are to be done. He had to remind them over and over again, even how they're supposed to live.
Right.
How they weren't supposed to live in the flesh. They wanted to commit adultery and everything be okay.
Right.
They wanted to steal, thief, and everything be okay. They wanted to steal, lie, like Brother Brandon was teaching about, and everything still be okay.
Right.
And then he said, you can't live that kind of a life and be saved. They that live like that, they'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what he told them in Corinth. Reminded them of how the church operated, how the operation of God worked. Everything he had to go over. Why? Because they wanted to change. They wanted to change. The time will come. They shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap. They build their own religion. They build their own doctrine. They build their own beliefs around what they want to believe.
Right.
What they want to hear. Just as long as it doesn't rub against their flesh.
Right.
That was how the world Paul lived in. They shall turn away their ears from the truth, shall be turned unto fables. Look at verse 10. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Even at one time, Titus had left him and went to Dalmatia. What about that? But Demas had forsaken him. Crescens had forsaken him. That's the world Paul lived in. Look at verse 14. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Look at verse 15. Paul told Timothy, of whom be thou aware also. In other words, Timothy, you beware of that man.
Right.
For he hath greatly withstood our work. He hath greatly withstood our words. Amen. He was one of them liberal.
That's right.
Right.
Religious people.
Amen.
Amen. They wanted to claim salvation, but they always withstood
that strong conservative truth. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm telling you right this morning.
Amen.
He said he has greatly withstood our words. I've run into this type before. I've had them stick their finger right in my face, just like this. And you know what? For what? For what? For telling the truth.
Right.
Just for reading the book.
Hey.
Just for reading scripture and making the statement on what the book said. Amen.
Right. Right.
Hey. I ain't got my own statement. I ain't got nothing to say on my own. I don't have anything more to say than what this book says. Amen.
Right.
I know it ain't going to help you, nor me, nor anybody else, for me to say anything other than what God put in His Word. Paul said that they should beware of them. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Can you imagine living in a world that nobody stood with you? But all men forsook me. Just like they did on the night that Christ was taken. They forsook our Lord. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Why? Because some of them genuinely was saved. Mark, John Mark, Paul calls for him afterward. In verse 11 he said, only Luke is with me. Take Mark. And bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. That's the Mark that had left him at one time in the ministry.
Right.
Paul knew there was something in John Mark that was real. And he told him, he said, bring him. Timothy, bring him. Bring him with you. He's profitable. He is profitable. Only Luke is with me. That beloved physician. Paul lived in a cold world. Listen, he told Timothy to come. And he told him, he said in verse 21, do thy diligence to come before women. And I did some research on that. What did it mean when Paul said, do thy diligence to come before women? Now you got to remember where he was. He was over there in Rome. He wasn't up in Russia or northern Canada. He's in a place, I don't know if they even see snow that much. But it gets very cold. It's very windy. And it's very rainy during the winter season. And I could just imagine sitting in a drafty, wet, stone cell with not enough clothes on to keep you warm, and the cold air start blowing in, and the mist and the moisture and the rain coming in day and night, and shivering constantly from the cold of being inside of something that more resembled a cave than anything else. Try to come before winter.
Yeah.
He lived in a cold world. Locked up. He told him in verse 13. He said, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. Bring that cloak that I can wrap myself in. Look at this. And the books. That was the rolls. The scrolls that he had. Are you listening? The copies. But then he said, but especially the parchments. If you don't bring nothing else, even if you don't get the cloak, bring the parchment. You know what the parchment was, don't you? It was that sheepskin that was written on the Holy Scripture. And it's a perfect picture of the Lamb, the Word.
Amen.
Having that in his life no doubt made him feel closer to Christ than anything else.
Amen.
in this world. I can imagine Paul sitting there in that cold cell, just thinking, if I had that lamb skin that had the Word of God written on it. You see, Jesus is the Lamb, and He is the Word made flesh.
Right.
Amen.
Hey.
Oh, Lord, I come in the volume of a book just to have that sitting on His lap, reading the Word of God, and having that bound warm His soul more than anything else. What that would do for the Apostle Paul to have that parchment again in his lap. Hey, he wanted God's Word and the presence of Christ more than anything in this world.
Hey.
Oh my. The last words of Paul bring especially the parchments. Living in light of the second coming, I thought about this, the seasons in the life of Paul. There he was talking about a winter season coming up. A season of forsakenness. All the men that have forsaken him. Look what he said, verse 3, for the time will come. That word time, it also interprets season. Look what Paul told him. Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. All the seasons of your life, Timothy. You're going to have many. Preach the word.
Hey.
No matter what season you're in, no matter if they're forsaking you, whether you're in jail and you're cold and without your books, whatever that it is, amen, in whatever season,
right.
The Lord, he said, the Lord, not in verse 17, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. When everybody else forsook me, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. That by me the preaching might be fully known. Think if the Apostle Paul had given up in any season of his life, that preaching may not have been fully known.
Right.
Think what we would have been without. Or maybe what the Lord would have had to had someone else bring the rest of it. There was a time where he said that all Gentiles might hear in verse 17, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now, I'm not sure. The mouth of the lion could be one of two things. It could have either been some great trial that Paul felt he was facing or going to face. Or there are those that have written, and I maybe lean toward this, he was a Roman citizen. And at death, many times, they would take them to the arenas and have the lions just turn them apart.
Right.
And that's how they died. Maybe Paul was saying, I was delivered from that death. I was delivered from that death. Listen, the Lord didn't have plans for Paul to be delivered or to be torn apart by lions. Amen? He had enough spiritual lions in his life biting on him and ripping on him, don't you think?
Right.
But he said, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lions, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. He still believed in the preservation of his soul. That no matter what his flesh had faced, the Lord was going to preserve him unto his kingdom.
Paul knew he was going to heaven.
Hey.
He told them in one place. I believe it was in Philippians. If I'm not mistaken, Philippians. Yeah, Philippians chapter 1. Verse 20, here's what Paul said. According to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul knew at that one time that he was staying here, but he had a desire to depart. But he knew that Christ would be magnified in his life or in his death, whether he lived or whether he died. So Paul's telling Timothy in chapter 4, his last dying words, he's telling him about the place that he lives, how to endure all those that had forsaken him, how that Christ always had stood with him, how to look to the Lord, what meant more to him than anything. I'm now ready. Are you now ready?
Hey.
There's a message in that one thought, for I'm now ready.
Hey.
He didn't say, I'm getting ready. He said, I'm now ready.
Right.
Amen. I am now ready. Right now, this instant, if the Lord was to call me home, everything's all right between me and Him.
Amen.
I'm saved, and I know I'm saved by His blood, kept and preserved by His hand, by His power. I've lived for Him. I've fought a good fight. I finished my course.
Hey.
There wasn't anything that I left undone. Think about that one for a while. I have kept the faith. You can't be a Christian one day and then choose a few days not to be and then come and decide to be it, you know, and just bounce back and forth. I have kept the faith. He wasn't keeping it to be saved. He kept it because he was saved.
Right.
And he said, the love of Christ constraineth. His love for Christ, but also the love Christ had for him. And I want you to stand this morning.